You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is former BYU quarterback Riley Nelson. How are you doing today, Riley?
Doing good. I'm excited to be on this podcast. I'm an avid podcast listener. Now I have one more to download and listen to.
Yeah, awesome. I started the show thinking to myself, I really enjoy the interviews on sports radio, not as much the other content. And so I wanted to create an interview-based podcast for those like me that like to listen to podcasts and really just want to hear the interviews. So I appreciate you coming on. I'd like to get started off talking about BYU. Tanner Mangum obviously has been playing pretty well for BYU. He took over for Taysom. What do you see in him that is making him so successful to this point?
Well, he's got a lot of confidence, been the biggest factor in his success, and that confidence allows him to be, poised and play mature. But he hasn't been bit a lot. I mean, he's thrown a couple interceptions, had a few turnovers, but they don't seem to faze him. And I think if he can keep that up over the course of his career, it'll be good. But the guy doesn't. Well, a couple things. I think that's from his end. I was just going to say he's not scared to throw into any windows. But the other thing is the receiving corps is doing such a good job creating separation, getting open, and, Coach Nye is doing a good job of dialing up plays. He's not having to make a lot of tight window throws. So a lot of throws he's able to make, he's able to set his feet and throw. There's not a ton of anticipation. So the learning curve in this scheme is not super steep, although he does have a long way to go just as far as understanding, the schemes and how they're trying to take advantage of different coverages. But that being said, he's very confident out there. He's doing a good job mechanically. He's doing a good job of setting his feet, being able to deliver the ball at velocity. And I think that's attributed to his success. And then a certain element of fearlessness, not to, most quarterbacks, there's been a couple times on third and longs, he kind of runs around and hucks it downfield, and it's paid off a few times for him. A couple of times it's fallen incomplete, but to be fearless and be able to play that way has paid off for him a lot in the early season.
Do you think that fearlessness and confidence leads to him being a strong leader in the team?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's still got a lot to earn. I mean, Taysom was a guy who was in the program 4 years, 3 years as a starter, had countless summers and winters to prove his not only his work ethic but his leadership on the team. And ultimately, the number one factor, the number one foundation for leadership is especially in sports, is high performance, right, and performing on the field. So the fact that he's been able to come in and produce lends to his leadership. And then over time, he'll have to continue to prove himself to his teammates, both in the game and during the week. And I know Tanner. Tanner was in the program for 2 years while I was there. And before his mission, granted in different capacities, they were gray shirt or this or that, so that being to the fact that I know he's the type of kid that's going to eventually earn that respect, but is he in a leadership role right now? I think no more than the fact that just the quarterback is a natural leadership position on the team. But, is he a holistic, comprehensive leader? I think that's yet to be earned on his part.
Okay. Well, I mean, looking back at the UCLA-BYU game, it looks like, Josh Rosen finally had what I would classify as one of those freshman games where things just didn't work out for him. Now, some credit is clearly due to the BYU defense, but do you think Tanner Mangum is going to have one of those games this season where it's just kind of, he's a freshman quarterback starting for the first time and he's just going to have a rough game?
Oh, no question that'll happen. You look at Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston had a couple of 4-interception games, but nobody remembers that because he went 28-1 over 2 years at Florida State. Part of that had to do with how good his team was around him, but the other part had to do with he could throw those interceptions and not let it rack his confidence. I think what you saw with Josh Rosen being an 18-year-old kid was his confidence got shook a little bit, and obviously, as we all saw, UCLA relied heavily on the run in the second half, especially in that fourth quarter. I think Tanner will have a game where, you know, he doesn't look sharp and there's, you know, a lot of mistakes made. They may end up in turnovers. They may not. But the important thing is going to be how he's respond to it. Will he keep his confidence high? Will he be able to shake off those mistakes and make enough plays to help the Cougars win the game? But looking at it from someone who played in Coach Anai's system and also played the position at BYU, he's made his fair share of mistakes in reads and coverages, and now he's been afforded a lot of time and been able to move outside the pocket and kind of mask a lot of those mistakes. But there'll be a team, you know, that there's now two games worth of film out there on him, and we play some sneaky good teams. I mean, East Carolina gave Florida all they could handle. Cincinnati, despite a little bit of a rough start, is a good team picked to win their conference. You know, Missouri is definitely capable of playing some games on the defensive end. So I don't think it's a matter of if, it'll be a matter of when. But what we can all hope for is that he's able to weather those storms and in that game have the positive outweigh the negative.
All right. Well, you know, it's unknown right now whether Taysom is going to be trying to get another year of eligibility or not. But if he were to, say, get another year of eligibility, do you think that BYU would consider moving him out of the QB spot and more into a outside role, kind of like what Ohio State's done with Braxton Miller?
No, I think they'd be very unwise to do that, A, being because they don't have any depth at quarterback right now. I mean, it's great that we have Taysom and Tanner, but outside of that, I mean, look where we are right now. If Tanner were to go down, we would be in quite the dire situation. And so they would not be wise to encourage him to play any other spot, but they would try and make it work somehow, keeping them both at quarterback, which obviously would mean one wouldn't play and one would. That's what happens in college football. That would be the best thing for the program. But if he were to come back and play, and I don't think the coaches would do this at all, but encouraging him to go play another position despite how athletic he is would be a big mistake on behalf of the coaching staff. But now the other thing is if he comes back and wants to play another position, now that's up to him, and I think the coaches would try and persuade him to do otherwise. But ultimately it's his decision. If he wants to come back and try and play at another spot, then that's his choice. But if I were the coaching staff and knowing the coaches and having been in that program with a lot of these same coaches, I don't think if Taysom does decide to come back that they'll be encouraging him to go anywhere else, because of how valuable having depth at the quarterback position can be.
Okay. Well, let's looking forward to this weekend with Michigan coming up. How do you feel BYU needs the game plan to attack Michigan?
Well, they have to find a way to stop the run. You see, that fourth quarter, I think, put a lot of smiles on Michigan's face, because our front seven is not very big. They're not as stout as they need to be against the run. Now, I think there were two components. I think that the tempo and fatigue definitely played a factor in how easily UCLA was able to run the ball in that fourth quarter, which is different from how Michigan's going to do it with tight ends and extra linemen and two backs and running downhill at your face and not at the breakneck tempo that UCLA was going at. But that's first and foremost. I think offensively and defensively they'll be fine. I think this front is going to be a little bit more disciplined. Adam did a good job running, and our line did a good job, you know, targeting and fitting in their blocks against UCLA. And Adam was able to have a nice night. I think Michigan is going to be a little bit more played downhill in the run game, and I think it'll be a little bit tougher just because they're a little bit more bigger and have more physical of a culture. But I think we'll be able to attack them through the air. I think we'll be able to spread them out. You know, I'm encouraged by our – I honestly, watching – college football over the first 3 weeks, I think you can put our wide receiving core up against any in the country from top to bottom, you know, going the first wide receivers deep. They may not be the fastest guys or the most explosively athletic, but you look 1 through 5, I'm talking Matthews, Kurtz, Blackman, Hauk, and Juergens. And, I mean, those five are as consistent of producers as there are across the country. So I think we'll be able to produce, but to be able to sustain that production over the course of the game, we're going to have to find a way to run against their big physical front. And then on the defensive side, they're definitely not going to beat us with the pass game, and we need to stop them at what they do best, and that's you know, line up in big personnel sets and run it down our throat. So that's BYU needs to stop that big power run game, and I think attacking them through the air on offense will be all right. So,
all right. Well, I mean, right now BYU's Vegas has them as the underdog. Ultimately, what do you think your prediction is for this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's 5.5 points. I don't know if I'd give Michigan 5.5 points. If I'm Vegas, I'd probably give them 3.5 points, just for being, you know, the home team that. And there is no denying, since that initial loss to Utah, they have gotten better each week. I watched their game. I watched their whole game against Oregon State and a little bit of their game versus UNLV, and they are definitely getting better. That being said, you know, and you look at the game, and it's tough. So I'm kind of a slippery fish when it comes to predictions. I like to kind of more give my thought on the game and let people take from it what they will. But if BYU is able to, I mean, I see this playing out the same way the first three games have been. It's going to come down to the fourth quarter. It's going to be by a touchdown or less. I think BYU, you know, I think is going to, they're going to have another 300-yard game through the air and get some explosives. And then now the difference will be is because of Michigan's style of offense, possessions will be limited. So they're going to have to kind of increase their efficiency and make sure they really put good on. They've been good in the red zone, but make sure they're consistent in putting drives together that get them in the red zone to be able to score points. So I actually think Vegas is right on. Well, I think it's a little bit over, but I think about a 3-point line would be good. That being said, I, you know, you never want to pick against your alma mater. I still think BYU will, you know, I'm picking them to win and think they can win, but I think it's definitely going to be an uphill battle and probably the toughest of the four so far.
Wow. So it sounds like those who haven't dealt with the BYU close games up to this point well should just get used to it.
Exactly. I sent out a tweet after the game that not only is that what this season is going to look like, that's what, whenever you get into a Power Five, that's what it is. It's the days of the 30-point wins in the WAC and Mountain West Conference are gone, and they've been gone for the last few years. And it's going to get, you know, more and more heated and closer and closer battles. You know, you can't be BYU's of living the highest high, BYU fans' days of living in the highest highs and wins and the lowest of lows. They're going to have to find a way to temper that, because we're going to lose our fair share of close games as we continue to schedule these upper, you know, these top tier programs and eventually get into a Power Five conference, because college football definitely ain't getting any easier.
No, it isn't. I mean, you bring up P5, so I'm going to go ahead and shift gears to University of Utah. I mean, as a quarterback that has played with an injury, how do you determine when to play and understand that you're not being detrimental to your team playing injured?
Yeah, so it's well, first of all, speaking of Travis's injury, it's an AC separation. Some guys, that's harder on than others. But that is a pain, especially when it's on his non-throwing shoulder, that is a pain tolerance thing. In my opinion, if it's a pain tolerance thing, then, you know, you go out and do it. The question is, and I obviously speaking from experience, and my personal opinion is that it's on the coaches to be able to evaluate that if a player is a true leader and a true player, he's going to believe that he gives his team the best chance to win, and then B, volunteer and, you know, answer the bell, answer the scratch every time, even if he is hurt or injured or not feeling 100%. So the onus is on the coach to evaluate that player's level of performance and go from there. So I believe that players should play hurt. I believe the great ones do play hurt, and I believe it's ultimately on the coach to have a good idea of, okay, this player is debilitated to a degree where he can't perform at the level that we need him to, so we'll sit him in the next man up. So that being said, I think Travis is going to be fine. I mean, AC separations, you play with, you get those almost on a weekly basis, and they vary from degrees. And every, you know, quarterback that's started his fair share of games has learned to play with that injury.
Okay, I mean, you bring up Travis, and obviously the debate is whether he will play versus Thompson this week. What do you see as a big, or are there any big gaps between the two quarterbacks?
Yeah, there are significantly. I mean, I just, Kendall, I'm blocking on his last name. Thompson.
Okay.
Yeah, the Thompson kid, there's a significant gap for me as far as understanding of the passing game and throwing it. They're significantly limited with Thompson in there, at least from the things that I can see between the understanding of the two quarterbacks. So I think Travis Wilson definitely gives them a more balanced attack. Now, if he is part of one of the reasons why he's so effective is because he can run. If he's going to come back and be scared to run, then you might be better with Thompson in there. But if Travis is good to come back, being that he throws better and run in a more limited capacity than Thompson would, he definitely gives them the better chance to win. But I think Wilson's the more complete player. I think he gives Utah the better chance to win. I think they, against a team like Oregon, who, you know, of course they struggled against Michigan State, but they are still the king of the Pac-12 and have not yet been dethroned. And it's going to take, you know, Utah's best effort, and with Kendall Thompson being a little bit limited in that intermediate and deep pass game, you definitely want Travis Wilson in there if you're the Utes.
All right. Well, I mean, right now Utah is a 2-touchdown underdog. I'm wondering, back from your playing days, how much did being the underdog motivate you for games?
You know, less as my career went on. We won a game my freshman year up at Utah State where we were 29.5-point underdogs, and I think at that point, when it's that much, I mean, when they're picking you to lose by more than 4 touchdowns, then that's kind of a slap in the face. I can't remember ever knowing a spread of one of my games my last 2 seasons at BYU. So I think part of that has to do with just maturity, and then the other half is the guys out there starting and playing. You don't need any extra. It's big time football. It's big boy football, and you're out there preparing yourself, and you don't really have a lot of time. But you know, I know Utah likes to play the underdog card. They think of themselves as the underdog a lot of times, even when they're favored in games. But the fact that they're a touchdown dog, to me, I don't think is changing their preparation at all. It might help, you know. A lot of, as a quarterback, the position's so cerebral, you try and keep your emotions in check. But those guys that can kind of, the front seven on the defense, and maybe some of the linemen that can play with a little bit more emotion and wear that kind of bulletin board material, it might help them. But, I mean, ultimately, you have to go in and execute, and it doesn't matter what the spread is at the end of the game.
All right. Well, I mean, what would you say, what do you expect out of that Oregon-Utah game? Do you think it's going to be that big of a spread between the two teams, or do you think it's going to be a little bit closer?
Well, so with Oregon, it'll be interesting. I think if they come out and run the ball well, I think, yeah, they'll get out and run away with it. If Utah can kind of, if they can tackle and do what Michigan State did, and that's corral the run game, you know, keep them from gashing you, then, yeah, I think it'll be a close game. I think Utah will give themselves a chance to win. But with that Oregon offense, it's interesting because some weeks it hits and other weeks it's not quite hitting on all cylinders and they struggle. So, I would probably, if I were a betting man, I'd probably put my money on Utah to cover, just because they're relatively healthy and they're coming in with they're coming in with some confidence, and I think you know, Oregon with that game against Michigan State has there's a little bit of blood in the water, and I think their confidence might be shaken a little bit. They don't know who they are. They're not sure who they're going to play at quarterback. Their defense isn't as good as it has been. They don't have as productive of running backs as they've had in the years past. So with the blood in the water and Utah's just culture as a program, I think they'll be able to go in there, at least Coven, I think, compete to win the game.
All right. Well, that's all the questions I had for you today, except for one. I'm wondering, what is your favorite lunch?
My favorite what?
Lunch.
Oh, man. I'm an Asian guy. So pretty much, even if it's like rock gut, like Sushi Monster, those all-you-can-eat sushi buffets, I like those. Now, I do like real, like, sashimi or nigiri, like the actual raw fish on the rice. But going and getting some deep-fried rolls every once in a while, that's probably it. So whether it's, you know, a nice, classy place like Tsunami or going to, like, a $10.99 all-you-can-eat sushi at the Sushi Monster, I'll take me some Japanese lunch any day.
All right. Well, thanks again for being on the show, and hopefully we'll talk to you again later on in football season.
Yeah, thanks, Grant.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.